Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In This League, Podcast Network presents Prospect One, the Fantasy Prospect Podcast. Prospect One. With your host, Chris Welch.
What's up, friendos? Welcome in. This is Prospect One, the Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Welch, who you can find on Twitter and even Instagram. Would you believe that? At the same handle, is it the Welch? Got a great episode for you today. I'm very excited about this one. It's Prospect One live from the field. Every bit of this was taken from the Fall Stars game, and it is a slew of people first up on the episode. And the reason I'm really going to set this down for you is because you're just going to hear kind of transitional music taking us between. So I'm going to give you the chapters, if you will, of this podcast, because first up, it's a little bit of a round table. We're sitting in the stands. No one is in the park except some of the players on the field and, you know, people working and stuff, but no fans, anything. It is myself, James Anderson from RotoWire, Chris Blessing from Baseball HQ, and Eno Saris from The Athletic. And we're all sitting around talking about some prospects, talking about some things that we've been seeing. Good 10-minute conversation, shooting the proverbial S, if you will, having a good time talking about things. Then, next up, we move to a scrum interview. That's what they call it. It's a Joe Adell interview where he wasn't doing the individual interviews during the Fall Stars because you can imagine everybody wanted to talk to him. He did a scrum interview with a bunch of reporters. It's all of us sitting down there. We pick up right at a question of our friend Emily Walden. She is asking him a question. I think you're going to hear one or two from Josh Norris as well, and then you're going to get a couple from myself. So I decided, because there's a couple good questions in there, and I decided to kind of leave this 5 minutes that I've got in. You get a good taste of Adell, and hopefully I'll have an individual with him shortly. So we go from the round table with no table, just in the stands, to a scrum interview with Joe Adell. Then we're going to move to myself and Emily Walden. We're just sitting on the field. We were sitting up against the dugout, watching BP, and we're chatting about some stuff. And then one of my favorite interviews I've done in a long time, you know, I talked a lot about the Brewer Hicklin one, but you want to talk, and not that that wasn't a fantastic one, but you want to talk about overall love from top to bottom. Jared Oliva from the Pittsburgh Pirates, I've got an interview with, and it's actually a tandem interview because James came with me into the dugout, and he's got some questions as well. And yeah, Jared's fantastic. You know, lots of good stuff covered here. He said, you know, I don't know if he said it in the interview. It's hard for me to remember the whole thing and re-listening to it. But as we were leaving, we kind of continued to talk. And Jared was like, man, I could have kept going. I could have kept rocking with stuff. And I'm like, I wish I could have kept going. And, you know, I can't grab you for 30 minutes before the game. I would have felt horrible. But this is it's a good 10-minute interview. And not only is he a really likable guy, he's really insightful, really laid back, very smart, really knows his game, doesn't let a lot of stuff bother him. Another nice thing was I actually saw him just yesterday. I was down at a park for a little bit and I yelled to him. I was like, Jared, what's up? And he just came right over. You know, dab it up a little bit, chat it. He's like, oh, tell me when that interview is. And, you know, I mean, he just couldn't be a more personable, nice guy, easy guy to root for, but also a great baseball player. You know, you're going to hear it right in here. And I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. He's one of the more, as I even said in there, I don't mean pop up as like a bad term, but he's just one of those guys you walk away with, you know, a lot higher expectations because I think there's a lot more in the tank for him, especially from the power department. Very good, complete player. And the Pittsburgh Pirates, they've just got some great dudes, you know, from last year to Cole Tucker, this year to Jared Oliva. Really good conversation. And frankly, you know, I'd love to talk more into the regular season. And hopefully that's something that I can do. So as you can tell, a very, very solid lineup here with a couple of my friends in the industry and a couple cool different experiences for you guys to have. You know, the scrum interview is it's something else, you know, because you got a bunch of people sitting there. Some people don't ask questions. They're just recording. Some people might kind of dominate the interviews, and Joe did a fantastic job. And then, you know, me being able to grab Jared was definitely something I had been locked into for a while. I really wanted to sit down. It could have been nicer, you know, when we set up for the interview and, you know, just repeating again, just a very, very down-to-earth, real good guy. And that's kind of been a theme, if you guys have caught. I mean, how many good interviews have I walked away with? Not that I haven't had great interviews before. You know, last year, Duplantier and Trammell, they really stood out. But, You know, I've had some really good, you know, deeper down conversations, even when the recording has stopped. And Jared and the episode I did before with Greg Dykeman, you know, those were guys that wanted to talk. And I'm happy to, you know, be able to kind of get some of these guys' stories out and get them on some radars for you guys if they're not already. And Jared is 100% one of those guys. So hopefully more stuff from him in the future. But I know you guys are going to enjoy that. Before we get to the start of the episode, I want to remind you guys to come check us out over on patreon.com/ITL Army. The top 500 list, the update's going to be coming pretty soon here, right around November. November 1st is usually when I drop it. We've got Prospect AMAs, we've got lots of other content, plus a Prospect One GroupMe room, so check us out there. Plus, we've got a giveaway, and I've got some setup for what January is going to be. So you get a chance to win a Royce Lewis autograph card, Seth Beer card. Seth Beer is open to everybody. Royce Lewis is just Patreon only, so we're doing giveaways, we're dropping lots of good content, and I've even got, I believe I'm going to drop it in November, a little secret interview with Andres Jimenez that I'm going to drop over on Patreon for you guys. So you can be on the lookout for that. But let's get into it. So you're not going to hear me till the very end. It is live from the field. It's on the Fall Stars day. We were there for many, many hours. And these interviews actually probably everything you're going to hear is actually in order of how I recorded everything. So that's cool. But it also spans probably, I don't know, man, 2 or 3 hours across the day with a lot of cool stuff and a lot of different sounds you're going to hear from, you know, the empty stadium to on the field during BP to people screaming for players to give them attention. So it's cool stuff. So have fun here. Hope you guys enjoy it, and I'll talk to you on the other end. So let's kick this bad boy off. It's Eno James and Blessing and your boy Welsh. Let's go.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so this is Prospect One Live. Chris Blessing, James Anderson, Eno Saris, and about 100 people outside waiting to mob every single player. So the most important question is to James, how are you and your best friend, Victor Mesa, doing?
You should delete that tweet, but yeah, I mean, he hasn't, I mean, he's hit the ball hard a couple times, but I mean, he's kind of a singler and out at this point, and yeah, that one hurts.
He got an extra base hit the other day. I mean, that was pretty cool.
Wow. It's a career.
They took the ball out of play, according to Matt Thompson at Prospect Live, and gave it to him. He's going to have it enshrined because it was his first and only extra base hit here at the Arizona Fall League.
So let's get first. It's a complete joke. You know, you're like, this can't be serious. All right, so let's get initial reactions. Eno, let's actually start with you. Come over here. Anybody you've seen, it could be pitcher, talk to. Give me a reaction out here to the Fall League to a prospect or prospects.
One of the things that stood out to me was Ernie Clement's speed and bat-to-ball ability. I mean, it was just a couple plate appearances, but dude is going to make a lot of contact, and I feel like we don't know what the ball is going to be like, but I'm biased towards hit tool. I really like hit tool, and he's got it in spades. So that was one guy that I noticed yesterday.
That was yours. James, that was also your, you and I were talking about Clement. So someone not Clement or Victor Mesa.
Jared Oliva with the Pirates is probably one of the bigger helium guys out here just because of the numbers are great. And then people are going to look at what he's done in past years with the stolen bases. He's probably creeping kind of borderline top 100 at this point because I think he could probably get to the big leagues next year. But this is just, I mean, this is the worst Fall Stars roster that I've ever gotten to witness.
We were just looking at the East roster. Like, the West is pretty locked, or is it the opposite? No, the East is pretty locked. We were looking at the West, and I was like, all right, who do I interview? And we're like, well, Mason McCoy. I've interviewed a few of these guys, so it's like, well, Brandon Wagner, it's pretty rough. All right, so Blessing, what about you? Someone that stands out.
Yeah, I have Southern League coverage, so I had never seen Josh Lowe bring his power into the game, and really and truly, yeah. Seeing him, even though it was a fly out to deep left field, go the opposite way, and really not even have the, you know, get really good barrel on the ball. It was pretty amazing to see. I didn't expect that kind of power to come to the game, so I was pretty happy about that.
All right, so we got a good soundtrack now. So let me get, this is what I'm curious about. I heard a lot, you know, about your talk over at First Pitch. You want to give the 10-cent tour of what you were going through?
Just kind of talking about what metrics we should use in certain sample sizes and kind of tried to run people through my process. That was one reason I was actually a little bit nervous about giving the speech, because A, I'm telling everybody how I evaluate players, basically. And so now everybody can use it against me. And B, like, I try to make sure that everything that I believe is backed by research. And there are a couple places where I ask people to kind of take a leap of faith. Like, one where I think it was a reasonable one, like, adding a new pitch is a good thing. Like, there's not necessarily a ton of research backing it up, and stuff about, like, what makes a pitch good. We've only worked around the edges, and we can say certain things about, you know, the velocity and movement of pitches that makes them good. But some of it is just that I know teams believe this and work on this. I just haven't seen like public research that nails all of it down. But you know, I talked about how max, I think for scouting purposes, the type of players that you're looking at in small samples, a lot of times the two numbers that really stick out for me are max exit velocity and max pitch velocity. And most teams believe that if you can show me 96 or 97, then even if you're sitting way lower than that, I can bring you up with weighted balls and send you to gas camp and change your outcomes that way. So, and I think max EV is also the same thing. It's like, if you give me Yandy Diaz, you know, I'll coax an angle or two, coax a couple ground balls away, you know, like I can coach you into a little bit more power because you hit the ball really damn hard. So those are the two I think that are the closest to being like scouting statistics.
Yeah, it's killer stuff that everyone's been doing here. Blessing, you know, we're talking, obviously, you and James are going to talk a lot about prospects, but from what I heard, you were also talking about some you might be down on. Who are a couple guys you were out on in your talk?
Well, in my talk, we did a Q&A at First Pitch Arizona, and it actually never got, like, I tried to, like, get somebody to ask me the question of a guy I was down on, and nobody asked me. But Alex Kirilloff, he had an injury, a wrist injury. By the end of the year, his swing was complete mess. And I had heard
he struck out like 16% of the time.
Yeah, it wasn't good contact at all. He had completely he was bailing out. He was cutting the plate off. It just wasn't a good look. I'm hoping that it is just a wrist injury and he's healing right now. I overheard somebody say, and it might have been one of you fellas, that he. Royce Lewis said that.
That was me. Well, yeah, it was in my interview, because there's a couple things with that. Roy, or the, you know what?
I
Royce said
to that interview.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Like, Royce said it to me before the interview, because I asked about Alex, and he said that he pressed Alex to come, but because of the injury, he was going to take time away. But one of the things, because I interviewed Alex last year, and his dad is a hitting coach, and he's a really smart hitter, and I actually should go back and pull the audio, but I asked Alex, if you were teaching me to hit, what are some spots you should go? So he's just a really smart kid.
Yeah.
He's one of those where I don't even want to take a partial part of the season to make that my assumption with him. So that's why I boo and hiss you.
But yeah, it wasn't a partial season. It was the whole season. He injured his, and it just never recovered. Another guy that I'm kind of down on is Nick Madrigal, Birmingham Barons. I saw him here in spring training as well, Chicago White Sox prospect. In fantasy sense, he just doesn't have really anything. He has two plus tools. He's a plus defender at second base and a plus contact guy. Barely strikes out, but he has no power whatsoever. And once the stolen bases go away, and hopefully the stolen bases are there, he's going to be really kind of like a better David Eckstein.
But, well, okay, so now that's interesting you just threw Eckstein, because I think a lot of people, they'll look at the bat-to-ball skills and they could see an Altuve. Like the way that he launches the ball, though, is it outlandish to think that he could hit 20?
Launching the ball, that's the thing. He's like punching Judy in it to right field. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
A lot of ground balls.
Yeah. A lot of ground balls.
All right, same thing with you, James. You haven't even had your talk yet. That's coming up here. That's coming up here, but out in, give me a nugget of something.
I'm out on Jaron Duran with the Red Sox. You know, I know that his stock was way up in the first half because of that awesome start in the lower levels, but you know, I think he was kind of picking on poor defenses. I mean, he's another guy that just hits the ball on the ground way too much, and he's got that speed so he can beat out a lot of infield hits against subpar defenses, but then in the upper levels, there's just no thump in the bat at all, and there's been some pretty bad reports on his defense out here in center field. So, I mean, he's starting to look like a, you know, maybe a fourth outfielder type of guy. And I know people are in love with the stolen bases, but, I mean, he's a guy that I could see moving, you know, if not off my top 400, certainly, you know, to the bottom half of it.
Yeah. Do we want to make our way over here? I have one more question I wanted to ask you guys. Alec Baum said something interesting to me, and I want all your take, where he said he thought that analytics were more for pitchers than they were for hitters. You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I wanted to ask him about that actually today. We'll see what he says. But
is that Baum?
I want to talk to Baum about it because I know Jason Ochart, who's the director of hitting in Philadelphia, and Ochart is a geek. He's a nerd, and he's using.
Listen to my interview. Maybe I'll play my interview for you with Baum before.
And I know that Ochart thinks that Baum was a big win for them this year. So, but yeah, there's also, you can use the technology to inform a regular coach speak, you know what I mean? Like, the tech doesn't always need to get all the way to the player. For some players, they need it, and other players, they just hear from their coaches who are using the tech and the analytics, but, you know, they don't necessarily have to see it all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Alec Baum's kind of a hilarious character just when he talks about this stuff because he's just so down on it, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he tells Eno.
Yeah, I mean, Baum's a great prospect, and, you know, I feel like any analytical understanding these players can have will only benefit them, and I don't understand why a lot of players, not as much as before, but a lot of players are so kind of just apprehensive of,
but even that idea to say that analytics are for pitching over hitting, that seems kind of like a noteworthy thing.
I mean, I don't know how smart he is about this stuff because he said like stuff like I don't believe in exit or in launch angle. It's like launch angle isn't something you believe in. Launch angle is just a thing that exists, whether you believe in it or not.
Measure better.
Yeah. It's air. Yeah. I don't know. Exactly. All right, I thought that would be an interesting take. That's all good takes. All right, it's Prospect One live from the field. Keep going at it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Prospect One.
Any pitchers that you've wanted to face that you just be able to talk some trash to?
Well, Shane was one of them. Until his fastball was coming out at 100, like it was shit out of the gun. I was like, thank God for the walk. You know? So, but yeah, that was one of the guys I was looking forward to facing against.
Kind of jumping off his question a second ago, you guys have had a couple new names in your hitting group, Ryan Parker and Tyler Jeske. What have those guys been, what kind of philosophy have they instilled in you and your entire group of hitters?
Well, you know, obviously, it's like we said earlier, talking about what things do I look into as far as like swinging and whatnot, and all the sensors and whatnot, they kind of help me to understand how all of that plays a role in putting out my best swing. Because it's really easy to look at film and understand how you want to feel when you swing the bat. But then to have, you know, the science behind it and kind of, you know, them telling you, hey, you make this move, it allows your body to do X, Y, Z, you know, that's what the sensors and the other stuff that we have over at the facility allow me to do, so.
At Salt River, you guys get to play with the automatic strike zone. Do you feel it's any different for you than the human umpire, and are there pitches that are called differently than they would be in regular minor leagues without the human umpires?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing everybody noticed was balls that are higher in the zone are being called a lot more often, as well as those at the bottom of the zone. You know, we've had some curveballs hit the dirt, and guys get rung up, and I think ultimately it's tough, you know, because we're not used to that. We're not used to, we're used to more giving inside outside than the up and down. So I think that was the big adjustment for everybody. But it does help in a way. You know, it does allow, you know, the pitchers to, you know, be able to throw fastballs at the top of the zone, competitive pitches, and for them to get those called strikes that are well deserved on their end. And you know, for hitters, obviously, that's a tough pitch. You know, it's a tough pitch to hit. And you know, with a lot of low ball hitters these days, you know, it's a way for the pitchers to be effective at the same time. You know, how good it is inside, outside, really helps the hitters, you know, not be able to feel like they have to get up to bat with a fungo, you know, sometimes. So.
Does it mess with your overall approach knowing that, you know, you have to have one strike zone in your mind for Salt River and maybe another for Peoria or the other park that's going to use here?
No, I don't think, for me, I don't change my approach that way. I know the pitches that I hit well. You know, the pitches that I don't, you know, if, you know, fastballs up in the zone that are at the tip top of the zone that are being called strikes here, you know, it is what it is, you know, it's part of it. And, you know, putting a swing on that, it's not going to be competitive for me, you know, so if I get rung up on it, then it is what it is. But, no, I don't think you can really change approach depending on what field you're at.
Have you ever kind of reflex turn to talk to the ump and realize he's got nothing to do with it?
Yeah, it's you turn around and it's like, who am I getting angry at here?
Yeah.
Just yelling at
the computer.
What kind of transition has this year been for next year between injuries early on, then you got into the minors moving through, then you come to the fall league, and then you're going on Team USA? It's like a lot of stuff that you packed into 2019. What have you learned from it? What are you going to take into 2020?
Pretty much, baseball never stops, basically, is the first thing. No, but it's just overall experience. It's you know, baseball is a weird sport. You know, things change. You're always in a different environment all the time and always on the go. And, you know, as crazy as I thought last year was for me, you know, moving the three levels, this year's been even crazier. You know, dealing with an injury, you know, jumping back into the season and then going to AAA and then coming back to the fall league after that. And like you said, USA, it's all part of, you know, moving around, adjusting, and it's stuff you have to deal with throughout your career. So, you know, that was my first real injury. So being able to deal with injuries and know what to do and, you know, how to get back into it is all part of learning.
How do you also take the level of attention? Like, your star power has risen so dramatically. I live out here locally, so I remember when you came out here to the ACL, I was actually hanging with your dad when you were playing some games, and he's great.
Wearing Crocs?
He was wearing Crocs, shorts, he just had the hat. Me and him, we were just hanging out. You were rocking some games, and from that moment I saw you. The next season, you got bigger, your star power has risen, you're one of the most talked about guys. The attention here is through the roof. How do you deal with it? Outside of all the movement you just made, now you're also one of the biggest names, you know, in minor league baseball.
I think you have fun with it. You know, at the end of the day, everybody out here has the same goal, you know, is get to the major leagues, be, you know, an impact player, help the team win. And, you know, as long as you keep that as the focus and let that be the main thing, you know, everything else is, you know, kind of noise. You know, for me, that's always been the goal, you know, to, you know, continue to support my teammates, support people around me, work hard and really just get to the big leagues as fast as I can and be an impact player, you know. And when that's the focus and that's the only thing that really matters, then, you know, everything else is not really important.
Get some Crocs, though, too. Get some Crocs, like the day.
I told him to put them away, but it's his favorite. So.
Prospect One.
Emily Walden is here on the field. People are asking for autographs. How are you? Are you signing?
I'm fabulous. I only sign for you. You know that.
Okay. Well, I mean, at least that I have like the one piece. You were interviewing some players. You've been seeing some of the guys out here so far. Give me some initial impressions, whether it's been interviews. You were just interviewing Brandon Marsh. I didn't see who else you were interviewing. Talk to me about what's going on.
Yeah, this is only my second day here, so haven't really gotten a chance to get super settled, but the Fall Stars game is such a fun environment for the players, for media, for staff, for everybody, just because you get all of the guys who've gotten to know each other throughout the year. They're all having good fun with each other. It's just competitive. It's fun. So, yeah, I got to speak with Brandon Marsh earlier, talked with Royce Lewis, talked with Joe Adele, got a few other guys I'm going to connect with too while I'm here. So just
yeah, we did
just
our
a
scrum.
Fun time.
We did our we scrum did, with Adele. Yes. Did I ask good questions, by the way?
You asked fabulous
All right,
questions.
I'm just, you know,
and I think it helps too that Joe has always been, and I'm blanking on how old he is now. I think
he's going to be 21 in April.
So still relatively young. He has to be, I believe, one of the most articulate, composed, mature. I remember talking to him when he was 18, and I just said, there's no way that you were 18, because he's got such a good head on his shoulders. He's so, so good with how he approaches everything. So it's really a cool thing
well,
to watch.
Well, and you and me too. So we saw each other up in the press box, and we came down. First set of BP was Adele. Mm-hmm. Adele was the first one up. Once it was done, you looked over
Did
at me.
Did you like the expression?
And we both, and you looked at me, and you went, wow. And I went,
wow. And that's all that we could do.
And honestly, that's him with his contact. It's some of the hardest contact that you will see anywhere. There's a few other guys who have similar. Alec Baum's one. A lot of natural power. Miguel Amaya from the Cubs. A lot of natural power. But something about the way that ball comes off his bat, it's something special.
Yeah. What did you get from Marsh? Did Marsh get any good nuggets for you? I mean, people will be able to see
Marsh,
here, listen, read.
Brandon is really a cool guy to talk to because he's very competitive and he's very driven, but he's really chill, which I think makes it a lot more fun for him because he's not putting that same pressure on himself. You know, it's not like grind all the time. He knows where his strengths are. He knows he's a good defender. He said, I've just got to get better as a hitter. And he knows the areas he needs to work on with hitting, too. So really, really good guy. The Angels are really fortunate to have him.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people also, like, anytime I've done Periscopes or videos and Brandon Marsh is in it, people are like, Marsh is the biggest raw power here. People get really jacked up about the power potential.
Well, and the funny thing with him, too, is that you ask scouts about Brandon Marsh, and they all talk about his hair. And so he cut his hair before spring training. And I came down for spring training and I said, what did you do, man? Why did you cut your hair? And he goes, I know. He said it was a bad choice. He said, I'm growing it back. And it's back to its full strength. I can confirm that tonight. So we'll see if that's able to produce at the plate for him.
Yeah, James and I were joking. He's going full Jason Wirth with the comps and then the facial hair and then the hair. It's crazy.
He is fantastic. And he and Joe Adell are just two peas in a pod. They're so close. And they're just so happy to be here and be able to be together and have this experience. And we'll see what they're able to do offensively.
So here's one. This could be from the Fall League. It might not be. Who do you think is going to be someone that maybe we're not talking a ton about this moment? Once we start 2020, that we will be. It could be performance-based from here. You know, it could be somebody that really rockets up because this is kind of the big thing. There's some Dominican ball, but I don't know, based on the coverage you've been doing, players you've been talking to, things you've been seeing, who do you think is someone that needs to be back on radars or on radars?
Yeah, somebody who's impressed me, and because of my area of coverage, I didn't get to see him a ton in person during the regular season, but it's Perdomo with the Diamondbacks. He's somebody who's been catching scouts' attention, really athletic kid. Still sort of developing as a hitter, but really, really athletic kid. And then somebody else who I've always been a big fan of is Miguel Amaya from the Cubs. Just the way that his body is developing in a really good way, I think just shows how much he's going to continue to improve, really sharpen up, and we'll see how he's able to do that from there.
Another guy that... You know, I don't know how much you've seen. You tell me how much you've seen, but what's your report on Riley Green? Because he's like a really exciting guy for this coming year, especially for people looking at the draft class. You know, there's a lot of CJ Abrams talk. Bobby Witt maybe didn't necessarily perform where people wanted to, but his raw skills are there. There's a couple of the college guys, but then there's like Riley Green who's sitting there who looks so freaking tooled out. What do you got on Riley?
Yeah, Riley is somebody who I didn't get to see him at his best until the end of the year. And by then, he's an 18-year-old. He was completely gassed, and he still played so well. Defensively, he's a stud. He made multiple diving catches in the outfield. He wants to stick at center. It's going to depend on what the Tigers decide to do with him, but he's ready to fight for that position. He said, I want to be out there. I want to show him I can do it. During the start of the year, he was fantastic. He's got great plate discipline, got some of that natural pop. His body will fill out. I think he just turned 19 just recently, so still more to work with his body. He's got a good height. He'll fill out a bit more, and I think we'll see more power from there.
So offseason in 2020, what's on your docket? What's Emily Walden's plan?
You know, I don't know what an off season is because, as you can see, I'm out here for more baseball.
It's October and we're standing on a field.
And
it's not playoffs.
And no place I'd rather be than here at the Fall Stars game. So, it's gonna be just a matter of tracking international ball, see how the winter leagues pan out. Not sure about spring training plans right now, but gonna keep putting together reports and just seeing what comes together and getting to know some of these guys to keep an eye on for 2020.
Can you believe it? Remember when we did the podcast, we're like, we're going to do one from the field, and
we're actually doing
a partial podcast.
I can confirm we are standing on the dirt.
I'm a little nervous though. Every time I keep watching, I've been, you know, trying to pay attention to you, but we also have BP right here. I just feel one coming to us.
We have, and I'm having a hard time seeing who's hitting at the moment.
He's a red. I think it's Tyler Stevenson.
I think that is Tyler Stevenson, who, by the way, is the better half of Padres Taylor Trammell. This happened before Taylor was traded, unfortunately.
Blasphemous.
But those two are absolute best friends, blood brothers. They're closer than anything.
Are you going to talk to Tyler?
I'm going to talk to Tyler, correct.
All right, we'll be on the lookout for that. All right, let's go watch MVP.
I think that's a great idea.
Prospect One.
All right, I'm here with Pirates' Jared Oliva, which we discussed, we made sure is good. Right off the bat, you are one of the most impressive guys that I have seen here from a total package standpoint. Not trying to kiss your ass because I'm sitting here with you or anything like that. I'm just telling you, I didn't walk in with a whole bunch of, and maybe that's it, I didn't walk in with a bunch of preconceived notions. From the minute I saw you out here, and when you look on the stats, you kind of don't make sense with the, like, your power numbers. They don't show up on the stat sheet, but you absolutely rock at stuff. I'm talking a whole bunch here, but just talk to me about what this process has been like and just who you are as a player.
Yeah, this is definitely a cool experience being out here, like we were talking about earlier. But you know, the biggest thing was continuing what I learned from this past season in AA, and really trying to continue it out here. I'll have to make a couple tweaks along the way, you know, stuff I learned from other teammates, different organizations. But for the most part, it's just about like having fun. Each day I'm showing up, enjoy coming, you know, coming to work, have a plan for each day. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, the hitting stuff will kind of take care of itself, but I've been fully committed to my plan at the plate, trying to get, you know, more consistent in terms of getting a good position to hit each pitch. As simple as that sounds a little bit, but it's allowed me to have more quality at-bats, better contact, hitting the ball more in the gaps, you know, driving the ball, and that's kind of produced some extra base hits and some stuff as fall. So,
is there any analytical approach with it? Because, like I said, if they stat scout you, you know, they're going to have a preconceived notion. Lots of stolen bases. There's not, you know, big power numbers yet, but it is completely misconceiving of who I think at least they see you as a player. So, you know, is there an analytical approach that maybe the organization or yourself is taking, or no?
You know, not so much. Obviously, you know, every organization now looks at the numbers, you know, and they have that information available. I try not to really look at it a whole lot. You know, our coaches, coordinators, they do a good job looking at the numbers, crunching them down and coming up with a plan for it, you know, keeping it simple for us. But really, I'm just trying to go out there. I realize the tools and the capability I have as a player, and it's my goal, you know, as a ball player, to try to get the most, you know, out of it as I can. You know, whether that means stealing the base, running ball down the outfield, throwing a guy out, whatever it might be, I feel like I can impact the game in several ways. And, you know, as long as I'm going out there and just giving it, you know, full effort, that's really all I can ask about. And the numbers will just kind of take care of themselves, you know, at the end of the day.
Stolen bases, what's the Pirates sort of, what do they tell you going into the season? Like, do you have the permanent green light out there, or are there times where they're telling you to kind of, like, pick your spots? Or?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. For the most part, I mean, I have the green light. But don't get me wrong, there's situations in a game where, you know, we're going to hold up, or, you know, I'm trying to keep that hole open for a lefty. A lot of baseball things that come into play. And, you know, really doing my homework, you know, in the dugout on the bases. Not just stealing, I wouldn't say blindly, but doing my homework, okay, where is times, where is looks, how's the catcher, you know, what are their kind of patterns, two strikes. So there's a lot of things that's going to play, but the more reps I kind of get and the more I'm watching the game and learn, the better, I guess, chances or better opportunities I put myself in. But for the most part, they want us to be aggressive, go out there, do what you can do. If not, you know, you learn from it and hopefully get better the next time.
Is stealing bases something that you've been able to, like, just really excel at your whole career, or is it something that you've kind of gained a little bit more in terms of the craft that you were talking about, in terms of reading the pitcher, stuff like that? Have you noticed yourself getting better?
Yeah, that's a good point. So my dad played, you know, uncle played pro baseball, and, you know, they were speedy, you know, stolen base guys, so it's kind of in the family a little bit. But honestly, in college, I stole some bases, but I wasn't an absolute, you know, stealing threat when I got on too much. You know, I had JJ Madjevic hitting behind me, Alfonso Rivas, so, you know, we didn't have to rely on trying to steal too many bases.
I forgot, U of A.
Yeah, U of A down the street.
I completely forgot.
Yep. So I knew I had the capability to do so. Summer ball, I remember going out in the Northwoods, and I think I was like 26 for 26, and that's really when I knew, like, I can steal bases, you know what I'm saying? But it really, my freshman year of college, coach, you know, really pushed me to break out of kind of my comfort zone, stretch the limits a little bit. And that's just been a common theme, stretching the limit as a player. You know, try not to be, you know, it's easy to be in the comfort zone, but really I'm trying to learn more and be almost uncomfortable in the baseball field. That way I could, you know, expose myself to those situations. So
that's interesting you're saying that too, because when I watch you, especially in BP or in games, you actually have a sense of comfort. Like maybe it's an uncomfortable comfort. There's something inside of there that I see when you're up at the plate, which makes me want to say like power projections don't make sense with you right now, because it's going to come. You know, you know that old adage, they say that power is the last tool to develop. Sure. Do you fully believe that with how you've been progressing?
You know, I do. And I definitely know it's in there. You know, I've seen balls I hit in BP and stuff. And like, I realize it's in there, but it goes back to what we're talking about in terms of, you know, getting my body in consistent, you know, good hitting position to do damage. You know, not just feel good, put a barrel on it, but really, you know, count leverage, you know, breaking out what the pitcher's going to throw, being committed to my plan. I definitely believe I have that, you know, power potential in there to go along with my speed and stuff. So this has been definitely a big stepping stone, I feel like, in terms of showing, you know, I can drive the ball to the gaps off the wall. You know, who knows with big league balls, you know, and all that, you know, moving forward, it could change a little bit, but I definitely feel like I have that ability in there, and it's fun each day trying to you know, get that out of me, you know, and just seeing what we learn, what we could do.
Did you have goals for 2019 as far as, I mean, really what I'm going to ask you is, did you hit your goals or did you miss any important goals for this past season?
You know, I like to think I accomplished a lot of my goals. It was definitely a, how do I put it? So opening day, I got a concussion colliding in the outfield, so it's not the way I wanted to start my season.
No.
It was a big struggle the next month and a half, honestly. Did not feel the same. I knew the player I could be, you know, coming off my first full season the year before, and it was really almost kind of embarrassing in some part, you know, because I knew what I could do, but I just wasn't helping the team, you know, contribute. So this season was a big kind of, I wouldn't say proving point for me, but realizing when, man, you're hitting, you know, .180 or your body weight, you know, when we're 2-3 months in the season, how do you come back from that?
I was just about to say, how do you break out of that?
So, I mean, it definitely, it goes to my whole kind of, Little League, when I was with the Pirates, had a coach tell me, hey, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And you hear that all the time. I've always kind of held on to that. And truly, it shows each day you got to do little by little. You're not going to change your average in one day. You know, it was a lot of work, a lot of early hitting, you know, post-game hitting. Really attention to detail, and before you know it, quality at bats kind of show up, and the average slowly starts to, you know, make its way. But you know, overall, looking back at it, really cool year. Really glad like what I went through, because it's all about the journey. You know, if you have success all during the way, yeah, it's cool. But I think it's almost the downfalls, you know, that make it a little worth it.
Yeah,
that would make. What are you looking at, you know, for 2020? What are you, you know, focused on in terms of, you know, maybe stuff that they've asked you to work on, or maybe like, do you think that, you know, the big leagues, I mean, you're getting pretty close, is that a goal, or is that something you're just gonna kind of?
Yeah, obviously, you know, everyone here, I feel like it's a realistic goal that, you know, next year could be when a lot of guys debut. That's not the main, obviously, goal. That if I do all the things leading up to it, like that'll happen, I'll take care of itself. But like in fall league here, I've been primarily just a center fielder. So here I go, hey, I want to work all three spots. A little more versatility, because, you know, we got Marte in center right now. Brian Reynolds, who showed up this year, he was playing all three spots. So it goes kind of show the more versatile you could be out there, the, you know, more impact you can have in the lineup. So that's been a big thing of getting comfortable playing the corners, as long as, you know, mixing in the center field. But, you know, it's just adding on everything in the game pretty much. It's, you know, constantly learning about the base stealing, like we talked about with the power, you know, getting a good hitting position each time. You know, we can go defense, positioning. I mean, we can just break down any part of the game. And that's what really drives me, and that's what makes it fun each day, is no matter what, I know I could work on something and, you know, just really impact the game, you know, unlike some other people possibly. So that's what makes it fun.
That's really cool. All right, yeah. So then how about last one then? Mm-hmm. Get your scout hat on. Talk to me about somebody here. It could be a teammate. It could be someone on one of the other teams. Who blows you away? Who's somebody that, you know, give us a report on?
I mean, it's quite impressive seeing Julio Rodriguez out here at such a young age, you know, hanging with guys who are 22, 23 years old. His makeup is unbelievable. He learned English in less than a year, it seems like.
Crazy.
And you could have full conversation with him. So that speaks a lot of his character, you know, as a person. The baseball talent, obviously, it's off the charts, you know, especially at a young age. And how polished he is. We can go down the list. JJ, old teammate right here.
He's been big power numbers.
He's been doing really well, but it doesn't shock me at all. I mean, he's a power lefty bat, sneaky glove at first base, you know, really makes him some plays that, you know, that were big for the team, picking balls, you know, at first base. And really, he's trying to get better, too, at being a base runner. You know, doing the little things kind of help the team. That's really impressed me. Those two guys that I spent a lot of time with, and we go down the whole roster obviously.
Sure.
But you know, everyone here is super talented. But those two guys, it's cool to watch them play.
Well, I got to tell you, man. Again, like, you have been one of the biggest pop up, and that's not even a fair word, because you know you've made, you know what I'm saying. You know, you have been on a level. But seeing you here in person, seeing what you've done, it's super impressive. Your makeup is, you know, through the charts, and I know both of us were rooting for you, my friend.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. So pleasure talking to you guys.
All right, there you go. P1 live from the field in the books. Want to thank, you know, my industry people and friends. And frankly, I had more. Just time was weird. I was going to do something with Matt Thompson and Jason Panini. We were out at an Instructs game earlier in the day seeing Eric Pena from the Royals. We were going to record something, and all of a sudden the game kind of kept pushing along. And I was like, oh my gosh, we got to get to the field. And then we were doing some live Periscopes. I wanted to record some stuff with them. And I just had plans to record lots of other stuff. And I got plenty of interviews. But I thought this was a really good encapsulation of, 3 hours across the day, different types of interviews, and ends with, you know, probably one of my my biggest standout guys in Jared Oliva so far. So I'm excited to see how this ends and how the results end for the rest of the season. And hopefully that's not the end of my interviews I'm going to keep doing. We've got one more week left plus a championship, so I'm going to finish up and finalize all my AFL stuff. But I hope it's all been eye-opening for you guys. Kind of a bigger week with all those interviews. I mean, you know, the last 5 days we've had, who have we had? We had Alec Baum. We had Greg Dykeman, Trey Harris, Josh Lowe, Jared Oliva, and some Joe Adell in there, plus some industry guys. That is a pretty, pretty packed week full of interviews. So you always can go back and listen to any of the podcasts that you might have missed. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere that you can imagine Prospect One is. And you can listen to these bad boys and listen to them over and over all you want. Also, come over to patreon.com/ITL Army. We got those giveaways going on. Free Seth beer right now for P1 listeners, a chance to win it. You don't have to be a part of Patreon for it. And then we got the Royce Lewis one, MVP Royce Lewis of the Fall Stars game, giving away a cool autograph card there for P1 supporters over on Patreon. And I'll do another one in November for sure. I don't know if we'll do, you know, both sides of it. We'll probably definitely do a Patreon one, but we'll kind of keep doing some cool giveaways. But I want to thank again, Jared. I want to thank Joe Adell for taking the time. And then obviously Eno, James, Chris, and Emily for having some fun while everyone's trying to work and do, you know, crazy prospect-based stuff on the field, taking some time out to record some stuff with me. That's all I got. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at IsItTheWelsh. I'll see you guys next week. Have a great weekend. Peace.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.